Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're really, really glad to have you. So Vancouver is an amazing town, and there's some really incredibly stellar people around. And I've got an incredibly stellar guest on, and you may have heard and read in the papers there is a movie opening this Friday, and it is a big one. And we've got a very wonderful star, and the female director as well have been recognized for their work. They've won awards and been recognized through the film industry all across the country, and it's really exciting. The film I'm talking about is called Amazon Falls, and it's an incredible film. And Katrin Bowen has won awards. I've been lucky enough to have Katrin on the show before, and tonight I'm really excited to have the star of the movie, my dear, dear friend April Telic, on, who is starring in this role, and I'm very excited to have you. Welcome on the show.
Aw, thanks so much, you sexy voice prediction.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about the movie, and just for listeners who may not be familiar with it in terms of what the plot is.
Well, the film is... It's loosely based on the experiences of Katrin Bowen. She's the director of the film, and she was a B movie actress in Hollywood a number of years ago. And she was befriended by a number of wonderful women, they set up these sort of rules. They took care of each other and sort of held each other's hands in this business that can sometimes be not so pretty. And one of the rules was, you know, never forget your girls. And the other was, you know, you always check in, these kinds of things. Anyway, a few years ago, one of her dear friends, one of Katrin's dear friends, one of the girls who was in this group who had befriended her when she was a younger, struggling actress, met an untimely death. Lana Clarkson was a B-movie actress who had a good amount of fame, actually, and... it really hit home with Katrin, and she just thought, my goodness, I need to use what I'm feeling from the loss of this wonderful woman and send a message out. And so she started working on this film, and from... I'm very long-winded, forgive me, but...
I don't think you are. You're not.
Wait. She took some experiences of Lana's and some experiences of her own and meshed it together, and Amazon Falls came to be.
And it's been the story of the little film that did big.
It sure has been. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a B-movie. I play a B-movie actress who's past her prime and doesn't know when to get out. And it's interesting that a film with that plot line has done so well. It's not action-packed. It's not, you know, a big, huge thriller. You know, no special effects or you know, CGI shots. It's just a story, and we have done so incredibly well. And my hat goes off to the writer, Corey Hitchburn, and Katrin, and Darren Ryder, of course, who produced the film. I mean, they just did an incredible job.
I agree. Everybody's done a truly amazing job. The talent is truly phenomenal. I can't wait to see it on Friday, which, by the way, listeners out there, we are giving away tickets as well. So hopefully you're tweeting, and my Twitter handle is @SexyInVanCity. And April, I was going to ask you, what is your Twitter handle in case people want to connect with you on Twitter as well?
Oh, mine is @Telectra. So that's T-E-L-E-K. T-R-A.
I love it. That's awesome.
T-L-E-K-T-R-A. Telectra.
That's fantastic, because I was just going to encourage people, if you'd like to win passes, to come check it out. It's actually going to be on Friday night in Vancouver. It's already screened here through the Vancouver Film Festival and before that in Toronto, where it debuted at the Toronto International Film Festival. And you've won the Artist of Merit Award. You've gotten acclaim through all sorts of reviews all around. Like, it's quite incredible. And I hats off to you, April. You've done a tremendous, amazing job.
Thank you so much. All of these kinds of compliments are very incredibly flattering, and I'm so humbled by them. It's so foreign for me, though, to be honest. I've had this really incredible career where I've always worked. Like, I've never done anything else. I've never slung drinks. I've never served tables. I'm probably the only actress in the city who's never been a waitress. And I've always worked, but I don't know that I've ever until now actually really believed that I deserved it. Not for lack of effort, but just I always thought that there were more talented people that I continued to work because people liked me and because, you know, I worked hard at my job, but mainly because people liked me. I never truly believed that it was because of my abilities as an actor. And for the first time in my life, I actually say, and it's, you know, humbly I say, I think I'm good.
And why shouldn't you shine? You are good. And it's good to hear you say that, because I think by being the very best we can be, and I'm going to paraphrase Nelson Mandela and Marianne Williamson very, very badly, but who are you not to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous, and all that stuff? I mean, because by doing that, you inspire other people to do the same. And I think there's some really incredible, strong women and strong men in terms of the creation of Amazon Falls. And why not? It's really good. I think people need role models. And I think it's fantastic that by actually accepting and just saying, yeah, I'm good. But two key things that you did say there were, one of them is you always thought, you know, people because they liked you, and which that comes down to attitude and persistence, because you've always worked hard, which you have the talent. And in terms of that, you just keep, you know, you work hard and you persisted for years.
Yeah,
and you've always
here.
Worked, but taken classes, and you've continued to just hone your craft. So it's, you've worked hard for this, so you've earned it.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. It's also, I mean, to be honest, it's the dream, it's the role of a lifetime. It is the most in-depth character that I've ever gotten to read for, let alone play. And so it was a true gift to get to play Jana in this film.
Okay, so when you first got the script, did your agent give it to you and said, hey, you know, I've got an audition for you, or how did the process work?
Oh, it was actually looser than that, because it was such an ultra low budget, because I've worked for so long and so hard, my rate is quite high, actually. I've done quite well to get it way up there, which is great when they pay it, but, you know, that's not often. So she called and she said, there's a script and it's called B-Movie Baby. And I don't know, it sounds interesting to me. And I just thought maybe you should give it a read, see if you're interested. And if you are, then I'll let the director know and we'll see if you want to audition. But so it was like she called me just to see if I wanted to audition. Usually I get the call, we've got an audition for you, blah, 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 blah. It's not really a choice. But because it was so ultra low budget, she thought we'll give April the option for. So I read it and I thought, oh my God, I am in trouble here, because it was, you know, it's gone through several revisions since then, but the first draft that I read, I went, wow, if I get this, I better be damn good, because if I'm not, I got to quit the business. Because truly the film rests on Jana. The success of the film rests on my character, because she's in every scene in the film with the exception of two. And I've been number two on the call sheet many, many times, but I've never been number one. And to have the weight of the whole film on my shoulders was quite something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite something. So, you know, I read it and then I went, yeah, I want to audition. And I thought that I was just going for a regular audition. It was at the Vancouver Film School. And I arrived, and there's Katrin, and there's Darren, who's the producer, and there's Zach Santiago, who is already cast to play Aaron, and he's an acclaimed actor who is a friend, but he's more of a friend now. He was more of an actor that I looked up to so much before Amazon. And there's William B. Davis, who, you know, is an icon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both there, and it turns out that this was a chemistry test, and I'm like, oh, my God. Who knew? I would have liked some heads up on that. Like thrown into a love scene with Zach Santiago, which is not a bad thing to happen. But, you know, I was like, whoa, I was really thrown for a loop. And there were other actresses there also, but it was truly a chemistry read, and it was something like I'd never experienced before.
Mm-hmm. What do you think in terms of for the film, in regards to, just in terms of, just as a reflection, in terms of women and going for dreams and about the industry? Because as you're mentioning with Jana, it's, you know, there's the one scene where it's like her mother's like, you're 40, Jana.
Her agent.
Is it her agent? Okay, I apologize. And just in terms of that, where it's like, you're 40, and it's almost like, give it up. And I can see why it's popular as well, because of the fact I think we need to just fight, even though sometimes it may not seem like we're going to win.
I have very mixed feelings on this now.
Okay.
And it's interesting to me because I have, I just recently started to sort of understand that, the reality of the true business. And that is, like, the package, when the package starts to go, I'm going to take you off speaker. Oh, I can't right now, but I will in a second. I'm going to take you off speakerphone so I'm not echoing back. I think that everybody needs somebody in their corner to tell them the truth.
Hmm.
But, boy, when you have a dream and you want that dream to become a reality, is that ever a hard thing to hear? You know? It's a really hard fact to face when you realize that your dreams are basically slipping out of your hands, and the reality of you ever reaching them is slipping away. That's a hard thing to face.
Yeah, that would be. And I imagine in some ways it's almost, when your dream becomes almost like an obsession, it's almost an addiction in some ways.
Oh, it is. And it is an addiction. I know lots of actors that are just like this.
Wow.
And it's really sad. It's really sad because, you know, and that's the really hard part about this business, is that you have no control. You can be the most talented actor going, and you may never get a shot. And that is so sad.
That is sad, because even with all the persistence, etc., it's, what do you think the key is? Because you've been in this business for a long time, and you've seen people come up, you've seen people come down. What do you think the tricks are with this?
Well, to be honest, I always believed that I did really well because, I'm going to take you off speakerphone. Hold on.
Sure.
How do I do this?
I can put a commercial on really quickly.
No, I'm good. Is that better?
That's wonderful.
Okay, good. Thanks. I felt like I always did well because I came to the business from a place of wholeness. Like, I graduated from high school, and I got a partial scholarship, and I opted out of that. I just thought, you know, I'm 18, and I'm blonde with blue eyes, and I've got this and that to offer, and I'd better go into it full force. And I didn't come to it from a place of being broken. I never needed to be built up. I had a wonderful support system around me. I had great friends and fabulous family who always supported me and held my hand through this journey and believed that I could do it. So I always felt like that was the key to my success, was that I came to it from a place of wholeness rather than looking for validation, which I think it's the fatal flaw in this business. You get success and that validates you. And I didn't need that. I had that from my friends and my family already.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, because I think if somebody comes to it in terms of looking to heal, they're not necessarily going to find that there, not without losing part of their soul.
No, and this business will eat chunks of it away.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not by any means trying to paint a picture of ugliness about this business. It's just a fact. I mean, the media, people like to watch beautiful people. People like to watch perfection. People also like to watch train wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
Another story, but that's reality television.
I think Charlie Sheen's a great example of that these days.
Yeah, no kidding.
Unfortunately.
You know? Yeah, that's really sad to me.
Yeah.
It's exceptionally sad to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do for you personally in terms of just trying to keep everything in terms of work-life balance? Because you've got a family, you've got an awesome husband, and just you've got a wonderful career. And how do you balance and just take care of April?
Well, you know, to be honest, my husband helps me a lot with that. This week, for example, there's been something every day because our film is opening at the Denman on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, babe, this is, you just think of this as like it's a film festival week. So you are off. Your obligations to family, to friends, to all of that, hand them over to me. You're off for the week, and that's your job. I also, you know, he's helped me so much to realize that these things, the events and the publicity and those kinds of things that I have to do, the press junket, it's like 21 interviews in one day in Toronto. That kind of stuff, the auditions, all of that is what I get paid for. When I'm on set, that's just fun. That is my bonus. The rest of the stuff is my paycheck, is how I earn my paycheck. So that's sort of how we justify all this craziness.
So what's next for you after this?
Well, I don't know. I had an audition yesterday and one last week, and both of them I'm, you know, in the mix for, which is really exciting. Great projects. And I have my episode of Supernatural. I did a guest star on that in January. That's airing on the 22nd, I believe, of April.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And I did a guest star on Endgame, which just aired a couple weeks ago, so that was fun. Looking forward to a summer full of work, I hope.
I hope so, too. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that the roles that you're going for have changed since Amazon came out at TIFF?
To be honest, no, not really. I've switched agents, and my manager that I have now is so wonderful. She's so incredible, and she handles me so beautifully. She is trying to get people to see that there's more than, you know, the beauty queen in me. And she's really focusing on more character roles, more interesting, in-depth characters, and using, you know, the work that I did in Amazon as sort of a stepping stone for that, or stepping off point. And she's just wonderful for that. So I've been doing a lot more character stuff, which is so fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it shows the richness of what you can do.
Yeah, it's just much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Often, you know, not often does the leading lady have the juiciest stuff, you know?
That's true. I should have
really
never thought of it that way.
Yeah. It's the character roles that are the most interesting, I find. So we're just working on getting a body of interesting character roles.
I think that's good. That makes so much sense why when I used to like Oklahoma as a kid, I liked Ada Wanny better than Lori, who was the lead.
Yeah, yeah. And I've always been like that. Like, I've always liked the sidekick or the comic relief or, you know, the Steve Buscemi's or, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
And he's not the leading man. Now he is, of course, for Empire. But, you know, yeah, the character actors, they're always the most interesting.
No, they definitely are. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. That is, if this is going to play, and yes, it is.
In the spirit of grassroots social change, Pull Focus Film School brings together emerging filmmakers, activists, nonprofit practitioners, and media innovators to celebrate its spring program with an open house on April 26th at 306 Abbott Street in Gastown. Come experience the social change spirit, an environment that encourages conversation, collaboration, and filmmaking. Pull Focus Film School is located in the heart of Gastown and offers intensive, affordable documentary film and media courses. Program starts at 7 p.m. For more information, visit pullfocus.org.
The Georgia Strait, CITR 101.9 FM, Boutique Empire, and the Biltmore Cabaret are proud to present the Sex with Strangers CD Release Party, Thursday, April 14th. Local legends Sex with Strangers want to celebrate their latest release, Frontier Justice, with you. Yes, you. Joining in the party will be Run with the Herd and Joyce Collingwood, plus the world premiere of The Controlling Boyfriends and DJ sets by Guilty About Girls. How, oh how can I be a part of this, you're wondering? Well, advance tickets are available at Zulu, Red Cat, Neptune, and online at ticketweb.ca. Doors at 8, show at 9. Don't miss the Sex with Strangers CD release party, Thursday, April 14th at the Biltmore Cabaret.
In 1970, Janis Joplin, the Grateful Dead, the band, and many other cool people traveled across Canada on a five-day train ride. You probably missed it, but if you like trains...
Trains and cool people.
Trains and cool people. Come on down to the Railway Club this Friday, April 15th, for the Get Down CD release party.
Live off the floor.
The evening will also include Victoria's Brave New Waves, Vancouver's Ivy League Brothers, and all the way from Mission, BC, Stoned Moses.
I'm going to...
He's gonna be there too. That's this Friday, April 15th at the Railway Club for the Get Downs. Live off the floor CD release party.
Parties.
Brought to you by CITR 101.9 and vanmusic.ca.
CITR and Timber are pleased to present Kurt Vile and the Violators, Monday, April 25th at the Waldorf Cabaret. Touring in support of his latest Matador release, Smoke Ring for My Halo, psych folk singer-songwriter Kurt Vile is sure to impress with his ultra-wry lyrical observations and the elliptical architecture of his songwriting. The doors swing open at 8 and the show starts to rock at 9:30. Advance tickets are available from Red Cat, Zulu, Scratch, High Life, and in Victoria at Ditch Records. That's Kurt Vile and the Violators, April 25th at the Waldorf Cabaret.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we're back. And if you're just joining us now, you've been listening to Sexy and Van City Radio, of course. And I've been talking to the lovely, the talented, the wonderful, Miss Beautiful, Miss April Delek, who's also smart and charming and wonderful, too. And in case you haven't heard, she won the
Women in Film and Television Award of Artistic Merit.
I love it.
That's word a great artistic. Title.
It is. I got stumbly on that. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ask April because it's easier.
So that was a pretty incredible day. I've never won. Well, I mean, I was Miss Canada, so I've won awards, but I have never won an award for acting before. And boy, was I ever moved by that.
I would have loved to have been there to see that. So because it's I like seeing you get your due. It's important.
Oh yeah, it's really it was really wonderful for me, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got it. So tell, so for people who are coming on Friday, tell me a little bit about the screening. So are you gonna be doing a Q&A afterwards?
We are, and I think that most of the cast will be there.
Okay.
We will be doing, I think we'll do an intro, and then I cannot stay to watch it again because I have honestly sat through it probably 15 times, and I get as emotional every, the same emotions come up every time I watch it, and it's, first of all, I don't love to watch myself, and that's pretty hard not to watch me when I'm in every scene in the film, so it's hard for me to watch it, and then to go through all those emotions every time, so I won't be watching it, but I will be coming back for the Q&A after, and Katrin will be there, and Darren will be there, the producer, and I'm sure that a number of the actors are going to be there as well.
I think it's going to be really great, and in regards to Darren as well, Darren Ryder, who is dear friend as well, did you know he actually used to be the president of CITR when he was actually at UBC?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I keep finding things out about that man. He's incredible. You know, like, I used to dance on speakers at Love Affair to his music all the time. I didn't know it was him. I love that.
I know. If it wasn't for Vernard, who does the Love and Grace parties, I don't think I would have known either, actually, which is really cool. Yes, he is quite lovely, which I hope he's listening and hearing that we're plugging him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is
good. He deserves it. He does a lot of stuff.
He does. I think Vancouver's full of just abundant with some pretty talented people. So,
true.
I mean, Amazon Falls itself is a huge example of that. As you're mentioning at the top of the show, it's like we've got Katrin, we've got Darren. You've got Mr. Curry, the writer, and your co-stars as well. You've got some really amazing
incredible
people in
actors.
There.
Like Gabrielle Rose, who is just like one of my heroes as an actress. She's just amazing.
What did you learn from this, from doing the film, like this whole experience from the day that you got told you were cast to now? What have you learned? What are the biggest key things?
Well, I think the biggest lesson I learned is that being brave pays off, and that hard work is necessary. I've always worked hard, but I've never worked as hard as I did for this once I had it. Jamie, my husband, and I, he was not my husband at the time, but my boyfriend, we went away, and he's got a background in psychology. He's got 2 masters, and he helped me get more in-depth into this character's psyche and who she was and the history that we created for her and all of this kind of stuff. It paid off, because when it came time to shoot, I could just let it go. And what came out, you know, organically came out. I had done my work, you know, and then to be rewarded for doing things like, you know, I made some choices that I think were very scary, and I have a hard time watching now when I see them on screen, but I think that they were very important. They're, you know, I play an actress, and as an actress, we do a whole bunch of things to create the facade that is necessary to book the parts that we're going for, like wearing Spanx and wearing corsets to suck it in and lift it up. And, you know, there's hair extensions and there's eyelashes and this whole deal, false nails and blah, blah, blah. And I made a choice to show some of that. I thought it was really important to show some of that on screen. So, like, you see me put on Spanx on camera, and that's never attractive. But, you know, the women who see me do that go, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. But they reward me for it by saying that was, like, really brave of you and, you know, taking out hair extensions and that kind of stuff on camera. I've been rewarded for it, so it's good.
I think that's really good, and I think it's important, too, especially in this day and age where I think even though I know with the Dove campaign, for example.
Oh, I was going to say that. That is the most phenomenal campaign.
I agree. I saw it, actually, one of my a friend of mine actually showed it to me the other day, where, for those listeners who may not be familiar with it, check it out on YouTube, where it's just like the very plain-looking girl, really good bone structure, ends up where they actually do her up, and it's done in really fast clips. And at the end of it, you see all the airbrushing, etc., and all the changes, and it's like, wow. And just realizing that as women, sometimes our perception of what beautiful is, I think we hold ourselves to really, really, really super-duper-duper high standards that may not be always as good as you know, I think we hold ourselves to stuff that may not be the best thing, and it's not healthy for us.
In all fairness, it's not even...
It's not just women. It's everybody.
It's also not just what we do to ourselves. It's what is sort of... It's almost expected. It's really disturbing to me the way, like, thank God I have the husband that I have. And I have so much fear for my little four-year-old daughter growing up in a society where so... Perfection is demanded on so many levels, and there's only so much we can control, and there's only so much that's really important, you know? I remember doing a television series where I was number two. It was fantastic. It was an unbelievable contract. I cannot even begin. And I was a size four, maybe size six at the most, when I had, you know, right in the midst of the period, you know, and water weight. But I was a size four, wearing small and extra small clothes, and I'm 5'9", so I was thin. And the producer taking me aside and saying, you know, we're not going to let you eat off the truck anymore because it looks like you're putting on some weight. So the chef is going to make you a special meal with each, you know, at lunch and at breakfast, and they'll take it to your trailer for you. I mean, come on.
At size four, that's insane.
It's disgusting.
And anybody who sees you, April, you're tall.
Yeah, but...
As well, and that's ridiculous.
I'm from a four now, out of one, you know, in front of it. And that's okay. And I've always been okay with who I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always really loved that I had curves. I've always sort of felt like I was a Varga girl, you know, like in another life.
Beautiful
I was
lady.
One of those girls. I was a Varga girl. And been really pleased with that. And then ironically, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, for the first time in my life, I guess because I have so much scrutiny over this film and I've never, you know, I've never been so... naked, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I now feel more self-conscious about the way I look and my body than I've ever felt, and I hate that about me, because I did these things in the film so that people saw that so much of it is a facade, and yet then I turn around and I do this to myself. So I don't know, it's messing with my head.
Well, I think it's good that you've got the support system around you, because you are an absolutely, truly beautiful woman. So.
Oh, you're so sweet.
That's the truth. So I think most of Canada would agree with me. So.
Aww. I used to be a real hottie.
I think you still are. So, and I think it's really important just to recognize that. And I think in terms of with your daughter, I think that's a really key thing in terms of what are we teaching our youth, and what do we need to do to change in terms of what we're teaching people, and in terms of expecting perfection, where what is perfection? I guess it comes right down to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how do we go about starting to change those role models, changing what people expect us to be?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the question. To me, I think what's most important is self-esteem.
Yes.
And self-worth. There are so many young women today who don't have that. And they get themselves into precarious positions and situations looking for validation, looking for love, looking to be approved of or applauded for whatever it is, needing these things, needing validation. If you have, if as a parent, as a teacher, as a mentor, you instill value in these kids to let them find value in themselves and respect themselves and have a good moral base, their self-esteem will stand up, and then I don't think they will be so easily penetrated by society and media's expectations. Did that make sense?
That does make sense. And I think with that, I think a lot of women are starting to become more aware and starting to fight for that right. In Toronto, interestingly, which I know this may not totally tie into it, they actually just had something called the Slut Walk, believe it or not, where it was women wearing whatever they chose to wear. Mm-hmm. And just being proud so we didn't have to feel shameful. And it was basically almost like a take back the night kind of idea where women can wear whatever they want. And it was basically to fight against rape because there was an actual police officer who went into one of the schools and had said that somebody had actually asked for it and that's why it happened. And which actually upset everybody, which it's quite interesting because now there's women across North America just on the Twitter feed alone where they've wanted to get together and start fighting for it because as women, it's really important. And what I loved about that one was they encouraged men to get involved as well.
Right, right.
And so some of the guys walked along side by side. So instead of it being a woman's issue, that it's a human issue where we've got to stop looking for perfection. We've got to change our image of what perfection is and just keep moving forward and just focusing on building that self-esteem and just encouraging people to love each other as who we are today.
Right. Without real expectations.
Yes.
Like, let people be who they are.
Mm-hmm. That's huge, to let people be who they are.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes, I think we're the ones who fight hardest against that ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know. You know, yesterday I was being fitted. It's Vancouver Fashion Week. And I was at Blessing Boutique. Shelley Klassen is a designer, and she was dressing me. And I caught myself twice going, I feel like a sausage. I look fat. And, I mean, her designs are so beautiful. They're gorgeous on anybody. But I said this, and my four-year-old daughter turns, and she says, Mommy, you're not fat. Don't say that. You're beautiful. And I went, oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, shame on me, you know? And it's all because, like, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be photographed, and then, you know, I've got to make sure the angles are good and this and that, and this can't be popping out here, and this can't be popping out there. And no, I should just feel really beautiful. I'm wearing a beautiful gown and gorgeous jewelry by Brooklyn Designs, and I should be able to just feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it took my 4.5-year-old daughter to make me go, yeah, I look beautiful. You're right. I'm pretty great like this.
And I'm glad she sees that.
And I never want her to feel that.
Yeah.
You know? We all have to start doing that, being more careful with our words, more precious with our words around our children.
No, I think that's really, really key. And especially now with social media, with Facebook, I'm actually glad I'm not a teenager right now because it makes me shudder just in terms of just teen bullying, child bullying, and just with online, how is that going to change? And it's an interesting world, too, with in terms of self-esteem and how we're hard on ourselves. Our peers sometimes are really challenging, especially when we're younger as well.
It's a cruel.
It is. I wouldn't want to go through it ever again.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it's really horrible. It's really sad to watch. And you're helpless. Like, there's nothing you can do.
No, there's not a lot. And I wonder sometimes where it's just like, how do we move forward? Because it's the very first time, I think, just on a technological level, that we're in this age where we're going to have kids that, and they already are, more advanced than their parents are in terms of their technological skills.
Oh, yeah.
Because things are, like, literally at warp speed. It's actually faster probably than warp speed are just moving forward. And how do we govern? How do we lead in terms of as parents and changing and shaping the society?
Yep, exactly.
And I don't know how that is going to be, but I think it's going to be a little bit of trial and error. And as you said earlier on, just in terms of just creating strong support systems and just really, really encouraging and trying to put the tools in terms of fostering healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they'll realize that all that stuff's mainly just tools for communication. So it comes right down to the messaging and where they're at, even though that can be really challenging.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So if you could wave a magic wand and change things in terms of what's happening in terms of society and in terms of the film industry for, say, 30 years from now? What would you like to, when you're looking back, what would you like to see?
Those are two sort of very
big things.
Answers. Society is very different than what I'd like to see in the film industry. Like what as far as the film industry is concerned, I would like to see reality television, except for the talent shows. Like So You Think You Can Dance. Mm-hmm. I mean, those dancers work their hinies off.
Yes, they do.
and American Idol, they're creating artists now. But I'd like to see the reality television shows go away.
No more Snookies.
Pardon me?
No more Snookies or whatever her name is from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, no more Snookies and no more, Jay Wow Wows and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Survivors and that kind of crap that is filling the television. I mean, there's nothing to watch anymore. There's so few programs that are good, that get good time slots. These wonderful shows come out, and they get the crappiest time slots, and you just go, wow, another one bites the dust. And how sad that, something like Big Brother is taking up prime time television spots. It's really disturbing to me. I really can't stand it. So as far as the industry is concerned, I'd like that to go away, mm-hmm. and much more television like, AMC-type shows or HBO-type shows like Californication and The Killing and Breaking Bad and those kinds of shows. More of those come out. Good, strong stories with good, strong characters, male or female.
And what do we need to do to change that, do you think?
I think we have to be more vocal. We have to stand up. I mean, it's really a battle that is going to be so hard to fight. The one thing that is helping us now is that these reality television stars are becoming such huge celebrities that their price is going up. That, they're becoming almost as expensive as a produced, written, acted in show. Whereas before, it was, when Survivor started and that kind of reality television, it was like there was a $50,000 prize at the end. Nobody really got much for doing the show. Mm-hmm. Now these like Snooki's getting $80,000 an episode or some ridiculous amount of money. That kind of thing, they are driving the prices up, and therefore the shows will have to change or go away because it'll just become as expensive as a produced show. I don't know how to fight it. I really don't.
Well, hopefully through social media we'll be able to do that, which would be helpful. So, is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Just by being
vocal. The unfortunate
vocal.
Part of it is that it's kind of like a train wreck, and you can't turn away from it. And so it has an audience. Mm-hmm. It has a massive audience, and it costs a fraction to produce, compared to an episode of, say, Californication or, mm-hmm. Something like that. I don't know. Something's got to be done, though, because it's not good for society either. It's not making, it's giving unfair, it's portraying people in an unfair light. People are not all like that, guys are, their expectations of women in the dating scene and stuff like that, it's becoming skewed from silly shows like that. So, I don't like it.
Fair enough. So, in terms of society, what do we need to change?
We need to respect ourselves much more than we do as a society on a whole. We need to respect ourselves and therefore respect the people around us. I think we're losing that. And there are, stupid shows like these Teen Moms and whatever. Girls are going out and getting knocked up with hopes that they can get on the show. Wow. That's not somebody who respects themselves. That's someone looking for fame. People want the fast fix, and people want to become famous. They don't want to become an actor.
Yeah.
And they want to become a celebrity. And there's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, actually, with the Paris Hiltons, etc. But yeah. And with Facebook, Twitter, and I'm a huge social media freak myself, but in regards to it, I do find that it does put us in a fast food culture where we do tend to want things, instant gratification. Even, I think, 10 years ago, I was doing a lot of articles on online dating, and one of the guys I interviewed actually described it as almost like shopping online, where there was no point trying to actually make something work, because you could just go and browse, and, oh, let's try that one.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of our society, it's either we're going to start seeing a backlash, even though it's increasing in terms of social media, and hopefully it will start being used as a communication tool, again, where it actually focuses on content as opposed to just, I got to be there on what, here's me, you know, on the weekend getting drunk or whatever it is. Where,
well, you know, okay, so now here, I've come up with my answer for what we need to do as a society. We need to stop using these social media sites and networking sites as such a crutch. We need to communicate one-on-one and in person. People are losing social skills.
I agree.
People can be so wonderful and so eloquent and so, you know, well-spoken and funny and humorous online, and then you get them in person and they cannot converse. People don't have the social skills that they used to have. They rely on so much stuff online, and that's a real issue, I think.
I agree. Yeah, I really do agree. And I think it's one of those things, hopefully with, they're doing more things like tweet ups. There was just the YVR Festival. It's when people actually meet offline, and it's literally like where it's like, hey, April, let's get together and let's do an Amazon Falls tweet up. So we're going to be at the Denman Place Theater. So I hope everybody who's listening actually starts tweeting this and actually comes out to go and check out the movie on Friday and goes and checks it out. And they might be tweeting all the way through where you actually get to meet people that you might have been chatting with online. And then from there, where you actually go somewhere where you can actually have real life conversation.
Oh my God, how cool is that?
Yeah, so they're pretty neat. And they actually just did something called the Twestival, which they had over 200 cities actually just did it worldwide, which was kind of cool, where each one picked a different charity. And Beauty Night, which is the one I'm pretty actively involved in, was picked.
You are so amazing.
Thank you.
With that. You are so incredible. You should have wings. You are an angel.
Thank you. But they picked Beauty Night as charity of choice, which was great, and they raised over $8,000, where it was people online, a lot of people didn't know each other, got together, met up, they got all the sponsorship from just putting out tweets, and it was truly, truly incredible, where there's a few of the Twitter stars just locally, like Miss 604, who does a lot of blogging and is truly incredible, and Muse Events, Mark Smith, who does some really phenomenal work as well, and just a lot of other people put it together. But it was pretty lovely, where there was over, I believe, 500 people at the event, and it was really nice just to have all these people actually connecting offline. And
amazing.
It was really great. So I'm hoping that there's going to be more of that and more of the actual using it as the tool. So it will be like online dating, where it's, you don't have those long conversations with somebody who is really funny online and waiting too long to actually meet them in person, where you really using it as a tool. And it's interesting because there is somebody, Shane Gibson, actually, who does a lot of marketing seminars in terms of online media. And I always find it interesting whenever he's on a panel about that stuff, because he's the one who's always stressing to people that they can't just look at their Google Analytics in terms of trying to figure out if a campaign's successful. They actually have to look at what is the actual call to action. Like, so if it was a sales thing, it's like, how much money did you raise? How many people went to go see the movie? How many people gave to the charity? How many people signed up as a volunteer? Whatever the cost of action is. That,
how fascinating.
And then that way it's getting it offline and in terms of actual practicality and taking it to that next level, and just being able to measure things, where it's not all about numbers. It's not how many people are following you on Twitter. It's how many people are engaged in following you on Twitter and actually getting really actively involved. And I think as a society, we do need to actually get offline and use it the way it was really originally meant to be done. I heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is true, that Twitter was actually created originally to use in terms of the school system, so teachers could actually converse with each other while their classes were going on. Really? And they could share information, which was the original concept. And I don't know if that was just a rumor, but or if it was something similar to Twitter that was in created at that point, and then it ended up becoming really, really popular. But that was the original concept.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Just like Facebook was for connecting with people just for in their universities.
Right.
So it was just a university thing. And it's now, it's one of the biggest social networking sites around the world. So it's...
Well, you know, I'll be honest. Social network, networking and social media is making such a huge impact in the film industry. I know from, you know, working on the inside of this business so much, that when people are in a casting session, like actors will be reading for a part, they'll come down to the, like, you know, the director's picks, right? So they'll go over those three actresses or actors, whoever's up, and then they'll go onto IMDb Pro and they'll look at their star rating. And they'll be like, oh, she's 101,000? Nah, forget her. Oh, this girl, she's 3,000. That's great. Okay, so she was great. You know, it's never just based on their star rating, but that does come into play. And that is, your star rating is affected by number of individual or original IP addresses that click on your name on IMDb. And that's how your numbers go up or go down accordingly. It's so fascinating to me. And that gives you star quality or star rating.
That's actually really scary.
It's really scary.
Especially in reality TV worlds these days. And even with the So You Think You Can Dance, etc., can't you still vote online for who your favorite person is?
I think so.
So if you've got a really smart, savvy marketing campaign and have a nice following, you can tip things in your favor. Although I think that only gets you so far, because it comes right down to the fact that it comes down to real talent eventually.
Well, eventually, yeah, because, I mean, there are some winners of, like, say, American Idol that you never hear from again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other people who were runners-up, like Jennifer Hudson, who, look at her fame.
That's
true. You got to have the talent to back it up. You know, the Kardashians were on Piers Morgan, and he asked them, well, what do you girls do? Like, what are you good at? You're not actresses. You're not good at acting. You're not, what are you? And they said, we're geniuses at marketing.
And what did they say?
That they were geniuses at marketing. They said, we're really good at marketing. And they really are.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
Like, they really are. So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a team, you know, that's doing it. Like, they are really good at marketing, so they've taken advantage of it fully. But yeah, it's really, it's crazy business.
It definitely is a crazy business. So for people who want to go and check out the show, I'm hoping that if you're not going to win tickets tonight by either tweeting about it, tweeting and including Amazon Falls Films in your Twitter, or if not, or emailing me directly, or I've got a few options here,
yay,
going on Facebook and actually putting a comment, which we've already had a few comments today as well from some people who want tickets.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you actually buy tickets. It's because it's really good to support local film as well. And with that, I believe they can go to the Amazon Falls website to go and pick those up. I'm just looking for the link for that.
I think you can, but I think that's only for the opening night. I'm not sure.
If it's
we
throughout
play
the
at
whole?
9:30 nightly at the Denman Place Cinema, which is on Denman and Comox. It's a wonderful theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites, actually. It's old school, and it's 350 seats. So it's big with a huge screen.
And good popcorn.
Screen, which is really cool. And we play nightly until next Thursday. So I think that's the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that is the 21st, and it looks like online right now through amazonfalls.com/store, you can actually pick up the soundtrack, which I didn't play anything tonight, but I'm excited that it's there. I think it was the LALAs that when I had Katrina on the show
song before.
I love that one, which is playing in the trailer, which is great. But it looks like there are tickets where you can pick up for both Friday night for 9:30, as well as that on Saturday and and Sunday are, it looks like they're available.
Okay.
And if we've got listeners that are listening from across the country, I'm just taking a look to see if it's still playing across the country. But
we're playing still in Calgary, but I think we close tomorrow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening and you're in Calgary, you can come check that out as well, which will be
at the
great.
Plaza.
Have you been flying out to all the different screenings?
No, I had to stop.
Okay.
I had to stop because, I did, obviously, I went to Toronto for TIFF, for the film festival there, and I was there for almost the whole festival. I actually had to come home early to shoot a different show. But, I didn't get to go out to Calgary for this run. I wanted to so badly, but, if people aren't flying me out, I can't just keep doing it. We did this for free, basically. And so it was a labor of love, and I loved every bit of it. But love doesn't cover the pocketbook.
No, it doesn't. Even though I'm excited because it's, I'm hoping it's going to start. It's just exciting that it's grown so much. So I'm really proud of all of you.
Oh, thanks. And you were really wonderful to come out and help us too. Because you were there, and you're fantastic. You're just an exceptional woman.
Well, thank you. Well, likewise, it's nice to be chatting with one and getting to have an hour of your time when I know how busy you are. So.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So for listeners out there, if you are interested, I'm going to run the contest for one more day in regards to which I'm going to run that tomorrow, and we'll have the podcast up by then as well. So you'll be my podcast listeners listening. Okay. So please tweet and we will let you know in regards to we've got you and a friend can come and check it out. And it'll be really exciting because you'll get to meet the cast, you'll get to meet the crew, and it's going to be really exciting, and it's an awesome film.
And follow me on Twitter.
Yes, you should definitely. I want you to punch your Twitter out again one more time.
Okay, so it's at Telectra. So that's Telectra.
I love that. And you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He will be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And if you are hopefully going to be coming out on Friday night, you might just see me there. Actually, I can pretty much guarantee it. Until next time, bye-bye.
The Georgia Strait, CITR 101.9 FM, Boutique Empire, and the Biltmore Cabaret are proud to present the Sex with Strangers CD Release Party, Thursday, April 14th. Local legends Sex with Strangers want to celebrate their latest release, Frontier Justice, with you. Yes, you. Joining in the party will be Run with the Herd and Joyce Collingwood, plus the world premiere of The Controlling Boyfriends and DJ sets by Guilty About Girls. How, oh how can I be a part of this, you're wondering? Well, advance tickets are available at Zulu, Red Cat, Neptune, and online at ticketweb.ca. Doors at 8, show at 9. Don't miss the Sex with Strangers CD release party, Thursday, April 14th at the Biltmore Cabaret.